We've been looking at the parables of Jesus over the past several weeks, and we've specifically been looking at Mark's gospel. Today we're gonna flip over a book, and we're gonna look at Luke's gospel, the parables of the lost things. I don't know if you've ever been lost before, maybe physically or spiritually, or maybe you just didn't know where the heck you were going in life. I remember being 16 and a new driver, and my friend Scott and I decided we were going to go see a movie. And so I lived and grew up in Lexington, which is a small rural community, much like Plattsburgh. And so I was going to take my first trip into the city. We called anything with a population over about, 10,000 people the city. And so my friend Scott and I ventured into Liberty to the B&B to watch a movie. And if you remember, at that time, the B&B theater did not sit where it sits today in Liberty. It was over kind of where Academy Sports is now in that area. And somehow, as I'm coming in on 152 off of what is that road now? I can't think of it. So I'm coming in on 152. I somehow managed to get in the left-hand turn lane to get on I-35 instead of turning where I needed to turn to get into that area. And mind you, I had never driven on an interstate up until this point, let alone been anywhere near the North Kansas City area. And so I get on I-35 because I didn't know what else I was supposed to do. And I remember being scared and panicked, wondering, where am I and where is this road going to lead me? I had never been here before. Now, driving it almost every day and seeing it in the daylight, I realized it wasn't so scary. But at the time, at night, when you don't know where you're going, you feel a little panicked. And so I have an uncle who's a Kansas City fireman, and so he knows all of the roads in Kansas City. And so I called him, and thankfully he got me turned around and back where I needed to be. But being lost isn't fun. Sometimes when you maybe feel safe and secure or you have an abundance of something, it feels like an adventure. But at some point in being lost, fear starts to overwhelm us. When we don't know where we're going, we get anxious and afraid. In the Bible, in Luke's gospel, we hear Jesus telling a parable about lost things being found and the wonderful power of God to restore us back into community and to rejoice over that when we feel lost and afraid or scared or we have wandered too far. So we're going to read just the first of the three parables of the lost things. There's the story of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and also of the lost son, right? We know the story of the prodigal son, two brothers. They want their inheritance early. One goes off and squanders it all and then comes home and his father rejoices, right? We're not going to read all of that. I think we know it. If you want to read Luke's 15th chapter later, all three of these parables can be found, but we're just going to read the first one this morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 15. We're going to read the first seven verses. It is in our tradition that we stand for a gospel reading, so please stand in body or spirit today. Luke says this, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. This is the word of God for the people of God. Barbara Brown Taylor, she's a kind of a famous preacher in the world of homiletics. She says, you could call the 15th chapter of Luke a gospel within the gospel. The word gospel means good news, right? And everything about Luke 15 feels like good news. It all ends in a good way. The story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, the story of the prodigal son. What once was lost is now found, and there is rejoicing on earth and in heaven. And I think that we love these stories, or at least I do, because it sends this wonderful message about God to us, that God loves us so much that God rejoices when we are lost. That God goes out of God's way, leaving behind others just to find us. And how wonderful and powerful is that image. But sometimes, I think as we read this, instead of putting ourselves in the position of the lost thing, we need to put ourselves in the position of who Jesus is speaking. And in this story, we hear it says, now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, much like good church people do, grumbling about the life of God in the church. And they were saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. And so Jesus turns to those who are grumbling. He turns to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he tells them this parable. For them, this is not gospel. This is not good news. In fact, it makes their blood boil. They don't like the message. And for us in the modern church, it's easy to elevate this story and look how beautiful it is and say, ah, look how awesome our God is. But I wonder if Jesus walked in to these doors today and shared with us the same parable in our context, if we would be equally as joyful or pleased, or if we would feel more like those enraged scribes and Pharisees. Sometimes from a modern perspective, it's hard to see kind of what all the fuss is about. Why are they so mad at Jesus? He's just eating with tax collectors. He's just eating with a few sinners, right? And so we like to imagine them as not such terrible people, right? Like, oh, these are just the guys who collect the money. People don't really like them, but it's fine. Or what kind of sinners might be around. But I wonder if we imagined them in today's context, if we might understand a little bit better what made the scribes and the Pharisees so angry. And often, I think it's the people who make us the most uncomfortable. When you drive in downtown Kansas City and you see someone standing on the side of the road holding a sign, do you tense up a little bit? When you drive through a neighborhood where the houses are run down and you see somebody fighting outside, do you drive a little quicker? These are the kind of people that Jesus was talking about. When we go into situations that are outside of the norm around the good and righteous and holy church people, and we walk into a place where people are dirty or poor or smell bad or look like they could beat us up, we tense up and get a little nervous. These are the people that Jesus was hanging around. Someone with AIDS. someone with a criminal record. Someone who's unwelcome by society. And the scribes are like, no, no, no. We have worked hard to be righteous. We have done our due diligence. We have studied the word. We have gone to church faithfully every Sunday. But it's these people you're going to have dinner with? This breaks all of our dietary laws. You're not allowed to eat with them. Follow the rules, Jesus. And this is what enrages them. Now imagine for a moment these scary folks that we don't like to be around, that make us uncomfortable, that we're okay maybe going in to on a mission trip with for a week, but then breaking away in our everyday lives. And imagine Jesus coming in, flocking our church with all of these people and setting up, Kin's boiled omelets in the back. And imagine a Sunday school class or a youth group is in the next class over and they're like, whoa, who are these people? These are scary. We're not supposed to hang around people with criminal records or people who might hurt us or people with diseases we could catch. What is going on? And then imagine as their Sunday school teacher or their youth director, you saying to them, we're going to leave you behind to go save them. And God is going to rejoice more over the one who is saved than all of you. It's a little hard to swallow, right? And so, as good as this sounds, I wonder, is this really what Jesus is saying? Is this really the message he's trying to communicate? Because if you tell that to a bunch of kids, or even a bunch of adults, they're going to say, huh, if God's going to love me more if I'm lost and then found, maybe I should go get lost. Maybe I should go do all the wrong stuff first. That seems like way more fun. And then come back instead of living a righteous and holy life. That's essentially what Jesus is saying to these scribes and Pharisees, right? Like, hey, all this work you've done, God doesn't care about that. He cares way more about those people who've lived terrible lives and suddenly repented. That doesn't seem quite right. Maybe this is a parable not about lost sheep or lost coins or lost sons. Maybe this is a parable about good shepherds and diligent sweepers and good fathers. Maybe this is a story about who we are called to be and who we are called to seek out. Because I would venture to guess that most of us have already been found by God, maybe more than once. And we can rejoice in that just as God does. But when Jesus turns to the scribes and the Pharisees, he doesn't say, hey, imagine yourself as being one of 100 sheep. Instead, he says, imagine you have 100 sheep and you've lost one of them. Friends, we are called to be like the shepherd. We're called to be like the scribe and the Pharisee here, where Jesus is saying, imagine you have 100 sheep and one gets lost. What would you do as the church? And just as Jesus would go out and seek them and find them and bring them back and rejoice. I think this is a story about rejoicing, about seeking and sweeping and finding. It's an invitation not about us being rescued by Jesus over and over and over again, but about joining him in rounding up the herd and recovering what is God's treasure. It's about discovering the joy in finding. Friends, we have friends who are lost, who need to know the love of God. Let's seek them out. Let's find them, surround them with the goodness that is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh God, I give you thanks for the story of the lost things. God, sometimes we are lost and need to be found. But God, most importantly today, you're calling us to be like a shepherd, to go out into the world and to look for your treasures that are lost, to bring them home and to rejoice with you. God, let us live out the call that you placed on your disciples so many years ago to go out into the world and to share your love and compassion. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.